This recording, India 7, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma, Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, and then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this kind course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in a town called Anand. It's in the state of Gujarat in India. After that, when I was about 3 years old, my family moved to Zambia, in Africa, and we live in the capital city, which is Lusaka. And I lived there ever since. And when I was about 17, I came here to go to college. But I frequently visit India almost every other year. So I haven't really lost touch with my native background. And as far as languages go, I can speak my mother tongue, which is Marathi. And I can speak the national language of India, which is Hindi. And then in Zambia, they speak English. And in India also, English is like a second language. So that's quite a common thing. So I learned how to speak English when I was really, like, probably like 4 or 5. And then in Zambia, they have other tribal languages, but those are kind of hard to pick up. But I mean, I know a little bit to get around, just to get by, maybe. And then once you live outside India, it's a little bit tougher. Like, you lose a little bit of touch with your... Like, I can speak my language pretty fluently, but I can't read and write it. It sounds pretty strange, but it's a fact. Okay, basically, if you want to say hello, you say namaste, and we usually do that with hands like that. That's in Hindi. And then if you want to say how are you, like, you would say kaise ho, basically. And that's in Hindi. In Marathi, it's almost the same. Instead of namaste, you'd say namaskar. And instead of kaise ho, you'd say kasa ahe, kasa talle. Indians in Zambia basically have a they might have a little bit of an African tone to their speaking. Like, they might say their words a little different. Let's say the word carpenter. Maybe a person in Zambia would say like carpenter, but if you're maybe a person in India would say differently, carpenter.